Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. This week, we took a test drive on live streaming with Periscope. And to help things go super smoothly, we asked the Periscope CEO to join us. Periscope is a partner with Twitter. Just this week, you've likely seen the big red button on Twitter that encourages you to click and go live. That's Periscope. And you also likely saw Periscope in the news as Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey interviewed whistleblower and self-exiled celebrity Edward Snowden. We have the full unedited version of our Periscope chat posted at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. For this next segment, we pulled an informative chunk out of our interview with Periscope, lightly edited for time. About halfway through, you'll hear the voice of a morning radio show producer asking the Periscope CEO about better use of Periscope for his broadcast audience. The first voice you'll hear right now is none other than Liana Wilcox, the producer of Techonomics.
Is Periscope going to remain a standalone app?
So I think the context of that question is probably now you have the Periscope app and you have the ability to watch and create broadcasts on Twitter. So it's a super fair question. But we actually think there's a lot of benefits in having a separate app because, as you know, a lot of the apps we use in our phones are very specialized, right? We have an app for sending messages. We have an app for checking email. We have an app for taking pictures. We have an app for making voice recordings. And I think that live video is a new enough medium that having a dedicated space for both discovering and creating live video is really, really useful. It lets us do all kinds of things that can help surface live video better than if it was mixed in with a bunch of other content. Like, for example, if you open the Periscope app, there's a map that lets you zoom into a city and be like, what's happening live right now?
Right.
That being said, Twitter as a platform is so pervasive and so effective at its goal of giving you a microphone to the world that it would be silly for us to not integrate with it to help you, as part of your superpower microphone thing, also be able to go live with live video.
Right.
And so our goal is to do both, to have a separate app that helps us move really quickly in kind of servicing creating live video, but also make sure we're integrating with the Twitter app in all the right ways to make sure that people who are using that service, of which there are hundreds of millions, can both go live. And when they see a broadcast from, you know, the Dakota Pipeline or in Aleppo, that they're able to watch live video in Twitter without leaving to go anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. One of the things about the friction that you've reduced with the big red button has been transmuted already to Apple TV. I know I downloaded the app and I went home. It was already on my Apple TV. It was already suggesting to me curated content that I was interested in.
Right.
So I just wanted to say that I thought that was a really cool feature. I went home, turned on my Apple TV, and there it was. I was already watching pro-Trump rallies in Berlin and anti-Trump rallies in Berlin at the same time. So anyway, that was...
It's funny you bring that up. I think the most interesting thing about kind of democratizing live video is that you get a mixture of perspectives. I remember when a lot of the protests in Ferguson last year were heating up and the Black Lives Matter movement was protesting in Ferguson. It was really interesting because you had a lot of people, protesters on the ground, broadcasting on Periscope, kind of sharing their thoughts. But then you also had Ferguson Police Department starting to broadcast. And it was this like very fascinating, even exchange of perspectives, mm-hmm. where if you give everyone the microphone, then they can share their perspectives. And you, as a viewer, end up having to have the agency of deciding what, you know, as you were saying earlier, in terms of like, I couldn't verify this, but it was in my control to assess, you know, what I was looking at.
Right.
It's an interesting new world.
Right. The journalistic standards are a little bit different for me to broadcast, obviously. But yeah, you're right. Being able to graze and find certain things, it really adds to the context. Now, did you have anything else, Baby Huey?
Yeah, I just also, the more I think about it, we're definitely living in this world where we have other apps out there that some people have short attention spans, so they're used to like the 7, 10-second, 15-second videos. But with live streaming, I was wondering where the pros are maybe doing something live streaming related where you kind of have more endless time versus maybe posting something on a short video app. I mean, is there pros or cons of why you think maybe us as broadcasters, we should focus on more live streaming?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think there's a time and a place for these different mediums. There's a time and a place for 140 characters. There's a time and a place for a picture. There's a time and a place for a video. And there's a time and a place for live video, I think. I think what makes live video as a medium useful in certain situations is the fact that it's endless is really important. If I'm capturing some groundbreaking thing happening, a celebration or protest or something like that, I don't want to be limited to 7 or 10 seconds because what is happening right. is unfolding, and that just seems arduous to me to have to like start, stop. So I think that is just like one practical consideration of if you don't know how long you need to be capturing content for, live is a really effective way to just start capturing. Everything is being recorded, so you don't have to worry about, you know, losing the content or uploading it later. It's like by definition happening and being shared in the moment. The other, I think, key that makes the medium useful is the interactivity. As far as I'm concerned, having been used to live, posting a video and waiting for people to respond is just not the same, right? Like, what matters about the interactivity is that since I'm seeing what people are saying while I'm capturing, as a broadcaster, I can change the experience based on what my audience says, right? When we have journalists in the field, you know, covering tunnels that ISIS uses to get into or to get in or out of Syria, and people are asking him questions like, why are the migrants, leaving using this escape route? And the journalist who spent the last 3 months in Syria is able to answer the question. Like, that's material that you can't get in any other, like in any other medium, because it's live and interactive between the audience and the broadcaster. Right? So I think that's where, I mean, listen, I've taken a picture of my Christmas tree and posted it on Instagram and Twitter and all these other places, but I chose the live medium as the place to ask my viewers and my friends, like, which one should I buy? Because that's the only medium that helps me have that kind of bi-directional conversation with the audience.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Baby Huey. Thanks for all of the producers who came in. I only have you for a few more minutes, so I kind of want to pivot a little bit to the business thing of it.
Yeah.
Okay, because if 2016, which is a headline that that Danny pointed out earlier, 2016 was the year of live streaming, it's still a very crowded space, a lot of activity happening right now. Some have already been forced out of the market, and I think you helped force some of them out of the market, and I think you're in a bit of a dogfight in some ways too. How does 2017 tee up for Periscope?
Yeah, I think what we're still interested in is evolving the medium itself. I think the most interesting transformations we've seen over the last year and a half have been when we've put a dent in what people can actually do with the medium of live. So what types of cameras can they share from? When we first started, it was just the iPhone and the Android. Now you can broadcast live from GoPro, from a drone. You can broadcast from a professional setup with multiple cameras. So I think we still are really interested in evolving that medium because it's going to be the demarcation of what types of things people can do with live video. So that's kind of one pillar for us, is kind of continuing to evolve that.
Okay.
We're also interested in helping publishers kind of like reach their audiences, and if they want to monetize their content, because you spend a lot of time and energy broadcasting, you sometimes want to make sure you can monetize using that, using the content that you create. And I think that's an angle of the medium that we're investing a lot of time in, making sure we can make the right inroads there. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and you're absolutely right, there's a lot of people getting involved in the space, and I think that's ultimately good for the medium. It's good for consumers, right? Because the more people
right.
are competing, the more the medium moves forward quickly.
Right.
So I think it's a good place to be. And when we started, it was very different, right? Like, no one was interested in live video. People were quite skeptical about the medium because it had been tried before and it just wasn't really the right time. So it's interesting that now we're in a place where everyone and their mother wants to get involved.
Right.
But we're excited to be, at the forefront of it. And I think being partnered with Twitter is important because Twitter's not going anywhere, right? It is the platform that everyone uses as a microphone, and live video is going to be one of the mediums.
Right. Yeah, I remember going to demos and developer conferences a few years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. Lapel cameras were being used for live streaming and things like that, right. too. So it was coming around the corner, but now we have a mass adoption. And you touched on one thing I kind of want to circle back on for a second. Twitter is not Facebook, and I have this conversation with analysts all the time. Audience expectations are different. Investors don't get that. Analysts seem to get that, too. But live streaming, as you said, democratizes things, right? So how are you able to help differentiate? Or are you seeing a true synergy between Twitter and Periscope here? Or is it something where Periscope might be able to maybe leapfrog a little bit?
No, I think one of the reasons why we took this step as a tiny startup to join Twitter, which is a much larger company, public company, is because of the synergy in the mission and the vision. I mean, ever since I first learned about Twitter in 2008 or 2009 or whatever it was, I've always viewed Twitter as kind of the platform that gives me a pulse of what's happening in the world. It is the place where I can literally see what is happening in the world live.
Right.
but in a sort of ironic way, that's always been through 140 characters or pictures or video. And live video is kind of the best manifestation of what's happening live. So I don't think it's about leapfrogging. It's about really helping reinforce the vision for Twitter as it's always been and helping manifest that in the product. And I don't think there's any other platform like it. I don't think there's any other platform that helps you speak to the world and see what the world is saying as quickly as Twitter. I mean, a lot of other platforms, as a consequence of some of the content they might have on the platform, can help do that at times, but that's literally the central role that I think Twitter plays in the world, is a microphone for the people that inhabit it, and as a place to see what those people are saying.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
That was my chat with Periscope CEO Kayvon Beekpour. I had some help in studio from Techonomics producer Liana Wilcox, as well as the morning show producer for The Bone, 107.7 FM in the Bay Area. He goes by Baby Huey, at least publicly. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We sincerely thank all of our guests. And for links to this week's segments and all of our segments, really, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics. We also have related links, other digital ephemera, and the music we choose for each week's show at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Now, to recap, this week we had Wired columnist Clive Thompson talking about coding jobs for the middle class. We spoke with the director of Code 10, a program that trains middle class workers to do that coding. We also had the hotel room of the future, and we closed with Periscope CEO Kayvon Beekpour. In the coming weeks, we will have more from our Periscope chat, as well as another coding school that is helping former coal miners find a digital and marketable skill set. Okay, next week's show falls on December 25th, and we're highlighting the rise of artificial intelligence in that one. So, as you look under the tree at your voice recognition toys or your drones, you can think about our coming robot overlords. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, this has been Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton, and we had fun, so we hope you had fun. Please come on back for our next one.